And that is why we're here. That's why we do this work. So our step today was awareness, and we have lots of tools and techniques and allowances for the change. But
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court.
President Obama is making his pick to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
I've selected a nominee who is widely recognized not only as one of America's sharpest legal minds, but someone who brings to his work a spirit of decency, modesty, integrity, even-handedness, and excellence.
The nomination may face an uphill battle in the Senate, where majority Republicans have promised to block the nominee and leave the decision to the winner of this year's election. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and John Kasich are the big winners in Tuesday's presidential primaries. Clinton is now more than halfway to the Democratic nomination. The former Secretary of State beat Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and her home state of Illinois. Missouri remains too close to call. This is USA Radio News.
Tales of American Political History with Clinton Porter Hackney.
I've done at least three stories here about the White House, one on the development of the Oval Office, the one about its complete rehab in the Truman administration, and then there was the White House Christmas tree story. But the Executive Mansion has such a long and rich history, you just can't get enough of it. This is the story of its very beginning and the early days of actually building it at the end of the 18th century. After you read enough about selecting the site, the architects and their designs, and the men who toiled to build the original structure, you come away knowing one thing for certain. Call it the Executive Mansion, call it the White House, call it 1600 Pennsylvania, or whatever you please. But study its early days, and you will know, without a doubt, that this is George Washington's house. Join us again next time for the beginning. This is Clinton Porter Hackney at cphackney.com.
Bernie Sanders says he's forging ahead with his campaign after some losses yesterday. USA's Anthony Lucero has more.
Bernie Sanders may have suffered losses in big states on Tuesday, but he's still forging ahead with his campaign. Sanders appeared before a raucous, enthusiastic crowd in Phoenix and gave his standard stump speech against financial influence in political campaigns. He made no mention of his losses in Ohio and Florida, which were both solid wins for Hillary Clinton. Sanders says he's preparing for the Arizona primary and Utah caucuses, which take place next Tuesday.
We will win if the voter turnout is high. Let's make it high.
I'm Anthony Lucero.
Los Angeles is legendary for its bad traffic, and now a new report says it is, in fact, the worst. Research firm Interix has released its annual list of U.S. cities with the worst traffic in L.A. right at the top. The report says L.A. drivers spend 81 hours a year in bumper-to-bumper traffic. For USA Radio News, I'm John DeMaster.
QL1, does Rocket Mortgage require me to fill out a bunch of paperwork?
Negative control. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans is the first on-demand mortgage machine that quickly imports your financial data. You can go through the entire mortgage approval process in minutes.
That is fast, like rocket fast.
It also works on any internet-ready device, so you can get a Rocket Mortgage at any time or place you choose. Over.
3, 2, 1.
Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
Anti-smoking efforts are facing new challenges from new products. USA's Anthony Lucero has more.
New products on the market can make it difficult to compete with an anti-smoking message for teens.
A few years ago, we were talking about cigarettes for the most part. Now we're talking a variety of different products, including e-cigarettes and small cigarettes, all kinds of flavor.
Dr. Alex Prokhorov with the MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston is heading up a new program to help kids avoid the habit called Aspire. The program hopes to get kids and teens to understand the risks of preventable diseases caused by smoking. The Aspire program uses technology like a smartphone app to try and spread the facts and the dangers about cigarette smoking. I'm Anthony Lucero.
Ferguson, Missouri is taking steps to reform a criminal justice system that has been the center of racial violence for more than a year and a half. The city council voted Tuesday to approve a settlement with the Justice Department to overhaul city police and courts. By passing the agreement, the council avoided an expensive legal fight with the federal government. The Justice Department's Civil Rights Division said the city took an important step towards guaranteeing all of its citizens the protections of our Constitution. America's top health agency wants doctors to avoid prescribing opiates for patients with chronic pain. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday that, for most people, the risks the powerful painkillers pose far outweigh the benefits. That's the main message in the CDC's first-ever guidelines for prescribing addictive drugs like Vicodin and OxyContin. For breaking news, we're at WesternJournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The weather for Hunterdon County. It is currently 60 degrees. We are expecting a slight chance of showers this afternoon, mainly after 4 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Tonight, showers are likely mainly before 9 p.m. Otherwise, it will be mostly cloudy with a low around 48. Chance of precipitation is at 60%. Thursday, a slight chance of showers between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m., then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3, and precipitation around 30% with a less than a tenth of an inch expected. And then Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., and again with a low of 38. Friday, a chance of showers, mainly after 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 53. And Friday night, a chance of showers before 9 p.m. However, Saturday looks like will be sunny with a high near 47. And Sunday, a chance of rain after 9 a.m., otherwise partly sunny with a high near 47. So it looks like we're going to have a partially nice weekend. It is currently 12:58.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm also a licensed professional counselor, and I have a practice here in Flemington. I have been doing Counselor's Chat now for probably 4.5 years, and I'm really pleased to be able to continue to do this and give you some what I hope is good information in terms of having good mental health and having emotional balance in your life. So for those of you that might follow me on Facebook or LinkedIn, you may recognize that I do promote my show for the week, generally in the morning of Wednesday mornings. And my show today is about emotional sobriety. Now, some of you may have heard of emotional sobriety before. Others of you may say, I have never heard of such a thing. What in the world is emotional sobriety? And the interesting thing about emotional sobriety is it does have a connection with sobriety. In other words, connection with recovery from addiction. However, you don't necessarily have to be a recovering addict to look to gain emotional sobriety. Does it pertain specifically for addicts? For addicts, emotional sobriety is extremely important, or at least working towards it. For those of us that may not be in recovery, or those of you that may not be in recovery, you may not recognize that you too need to achieve emotional sobriety. So what am I really talking about? Well, it's the ability to live in the present, to regulate your emotions, to have better perspective on life circumstances, to have emotional sobriety gives you the ability for deep, intimate connections and resiliency, and also the ability to regulate behavior. How do we know if we don't have emotional sobriety? And again, you know, the term emotional sobriety has been around for about 50 years or 60 years. And it is connected with recovering from addiction. However, a lot of us can benefit from learning what it is. So, the ability to regulate strong feelings. What does that mean exactly? Regulate. Well, be in control of. Be in control of anger, rage, anxiety, sadness. Well, that means I might be angry, but I don't fly off the handle in a rage. Or I might be worried, but I'm not having a panic attack. Or my sadness hasn't deregulated itself into immobilizing depression. And sometimes we may not realize that we lack the ability to regulate, to actually monitor and change our moods, our feelings, our strong feelings. In addition, we may have difficulty in terms of regulating our behavior. Well, yeah, for addicts, that's pretty clear. You know, the urge to drink or use drugs is really strong, and I can't control it. You know, sometimes that goes along with things like food. I can't control my eating. I can't control my gambling. I can't control my shopping, my working, my exercise. It's out of control. So I don't have a good compass to be able to say I've had enough. I may not even be able to perceive that I've had enough. I don't know my limits. I'm not able to gain a good perspective on my feelings, even when they are extreme. Of course, lacking the ability to regulate self-medicating. That is a behavior. And the lack to regulate activity levels, overachiever, underachiever, chronic. I'm always either overachieving or underachieving. In addition, not having good emotional sobriety, I lack the ability of having deeply satisfying intimate relationships. I take things very personally, and I have a hard time just rolling with the punches of life. Can't seem to do it. All in all, my life feels uncontrollable, unmanageable, and chaotic. Well, where does this come from? Sometimes we do have predisposed issues that may be genetically based, where we are not able to regulate very well. It doesn't mean we can't learn it. But genetically speaking, we may not have the ability to do that very well. In addition to that, however, or even separate from that, we may have some childhood wounds that are unhealed. What do I mean by that? Well, childhood wounds, from my perspective as a therapist, are based in 5 categories, where we have some type of abuse and or trauma. 5 categories. Well, we know about physical abuse. It's pretty clear. And I'm not saying an occasional swat on the behind with an open palm is necessarily abuse. Being slapped in the face, being whipped, being hit, punched, black and blue, pushed, okay? These things are physical and they can be abusive, generally are abusive. But we also have neglect, emotional neglect, physical neglect, spiritual neglect, nutritional neglect, cleanliness neglect, learning basic life skill neglect. That's actually a wound. My parents never taught me how to dot, dot, dot. I never learned dot, dot, dot. Okay? Whatever it might be in your life that you don't, I don't know. I don't know how to do that. When I worked at a halfway house years ago, I would sometimes get a woman into the program and I'd, she'd be doing her laundry and I'd walk into the laundry room and she's pouring shampoo into the washing machine. I said, "What are you doing?" "Like, I'm washing my clothes." "Like shampoo?" "Well, I don't know. What do you use?" "Laundry detergent?" "Did anybody ever teach you how to do laundry?" "No." "Okay." Now, I'm not going to say that shampoo doesn't clean clothes. It probably does. However, it's really made for hair, not clothes. So, things like that. Sometimes, believe it or not, people are not taught. We have something called emotional abuse. Well, what in the world is that? Childhood wound, emotional abuse. I have to take care of mommy's crying. Daddy's arguing. I'm not allowed to feel. I've been told it's not okay to cry. I've been told I don't have any right to be angry. I'm not given any coping skills on how to deal with my emotions in general. As a matter of fact, I've learned to bottle them up, sweep them under the rug, swallow them down. It's emotional abuse. Who gave you the right to be angry? Okay? We have intellectual abuse. What in the world is that? Well, you're stupid. You're dumb. You should know by now. Okay? Where did you come up with that bright idea? What, are you an idiot? Emotional abuse. You figure out how to get that done. I'm not going to help you. Don't ask me such a stupid question. Sexual abuse. Well, we tend to think of sexual abuse in terms of, I'm going to say, childhood incest, or being sexually molested, or being raped. Those are pretty clear. Sexual abuse comes in other ways. Well, I am going to be daddy's girlfriend, because mommy is not being daddy's girlfriend. Or I'm going to be mommy's boyfriend. Or I watch my parents do sexually inappropriate things in front of me, or I'm exposed to sexual things before I'm really prepared to handle them. Or sex is not explained to me when I really need to know about it at a particular age. Or I'm being made fun of. My physical development, my sexual development is being made fun of. Or I'm taught that it's disgusting and bad and evil. Okay? Nobody's going to want you. Look at you. You're ugly. Okay? That's emotional and sexual abuse. And then we have what I'm going to call spiritual abuse. And spiritual abuse is when we prevent our children from learning about spirituality, experiencing spirituality, gaining a sense of awe about nature and the world, not teaching them about the possibility of God. And if you come from a family that is extremely religious, using God as a weapon, sometimes that happens. God's going to punish you. If you're not good, you're going to go to hell. If you're not good. Or, I am the parent. I am God in your life. So, the parent sets himself up to be the God. So, these are some ways where we can have actually spiritual abuse. So these are some things that can happen that can create trauma and early childhood wounds. And now, here's the thing, okay? All of these things lead to a sense of imbalance in our lives. These things can create belief systems in our lives, which means we have the lack of emotional sobriety. I don't know how to regulate these things in my life because of the abuse that I had growing up. So I need to take a little commercial break, and I will be back in a few minutes with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I'm talking about something called emotional sobriety. And that though the word sobriety is in there and originally was related to people in recovery from addiction, then emotional sobriety actually has a much broader reach than just someone struggling with recovery. Emotional sobriety is about finding and maintaining our emotional equilibrium. It's our ability to self-regulate and bring ourselves into balance when we fall out of regulation. And it's a place where our thinking, feeling, and behavior are reasonably congruent. That means it all operates together in a balanced way. You know, when our emotions are out of control, our thinking is out of control. Also, when our thinking is out of control, oftentimes our emotions are out of control. They're out of balance. And when our thinking and emotions are out of balance, our life is out of balance, our relationships show it, our self-care shows it, our lives show it. Our emotions impact our thinking, and our thinking impacts our emotions. One of the things that I use as in my practice, and sometimes you hear me talk about it, is cognitive therapy or cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT. Oftentimes I have clients that come to me and say, do you use CBT? I'm like, I sure do. It is a fantastic counseling theory. Underline the word theory. Everything in counseling practice is based on theory, and the theories seem to work. So it means that the way we think or a belief system that we have affects our emotional life. I use this example quite often in my practice. I believe that everyone should always use their blinker. Now, my belief system has a couple of clues there. Should, everyone, that's an absolute, always is an absolute. And when people don't use that blinker, I can't stand it, and they are idiots. Okay? So these are all indications of my belief system. Everyone should, you must, you always, I never, I can't stand it when, and rating other people. You're bad, stupid, okay, all of those things. Those are all indications that I may actually be struggling with emotional sobriety because my thinking, my belief systems are skewed by those very words. So if I believe that everyone should always use their blinker and I can't stand it when they don't, I devolve into road rage. I'm on my horn. I'm tailing the person. I'm screaming at them. I'm giving them a finger. I'm creating havoc. I'm making dangerous situation even more dangerous because the person didn't use their blinker to turn. I'm making it worse. I am not controlling my behavior. I am not regulating my emotions. It's not very sober. The thing that's interesting, I'm going to say, about the word sober. Sober doesn't mean that we don't have fun. We can have a lot of good sober fun. It means we do things with responsibility attached. It means that not only responsibility, but I am responsible for. I am responsible for my feelings. I am responsible for my thoughts. You don't create them. You did not use your blinker. You did not create my road rage. I created my own road rage because of my belief systems, because I am out of balance and I am not very regulated and I do not have good emotional sobriety. If I am dealing with issues from my childhood where I have a wound, as I described earlier, emotional, physical abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse, neglect, intellectual abuse, I come from a place in my life where I was taught specific things. To a child, our parents are the most important source of information. Several years ago, I worked in Plainfield, Plainfield, New Jersey, which is basically an inner city population. Plainfield is a city. And I worked with fourth, fifth, and sixth graders who were struggling with emotional regulation and behavioral regulation. And we would talk about how to react when insulted. I'd say, hitting the person is not a good way to respond. There's other ways to respond. If you're being bullied, there's another way to respond. Or if you are being a bully, let's talk about why that is happening. And there's other ways of handling a situation rather than bullying. It didn't really matter all that much what I said, because oftentimes the response would be, oh no, nope. My mother told me if somebody pushes me that I have the right to hit them. Well, yeah, your mom might be wrong on that. Nope. My mom is not wrong. My mom is my mom. My mom is not going to give me bad information. My mom is going to tell me exactly the way it is. That message is so powerful. Parents, the messages that you give your children are extremely powerful. Adults, the messages that you receive from your parents are extremely powerful. As a matter of fact, it can set up for you all kinds of distress. We call it, actually, cognitive dissonance. That is a real term. What does that mean? It means that I have mental distress or mental discomfort when the belief that I hold is contradictory to my experience. Or when I am confronted with information that conflicts with my existing beliefs and ideas and values. If I am struggling with self-esteem and my belief system is rooted in my childhood, that I am a bad person, that I am a worthless person, that I'm not going to amount to anything, that I am stupid, that I'm inconsequential, that God is going to punish me. If I have these types of belief systems, as a therapist, part of my job is to say, well, let's look at the reality. Nope. I'm a bad person. There's nothing you could tell me that's going to give me any other kind of information other than that. That's what my father told me, and I'm sticking with it. Well, let's look at all this good information that we have here about who you are as a person. Nope. I'm sticking with it. That's what I was told. Fear God. That's what I was told. Don't tell me that God is on my side. I've learned to hate God because God is out to get me. God is not my friend. God is my enemy. So this theory, again, another theory of cognitive dissonance, has an aspect and plays a role in emotional sobriety. We become psychologically uncomfortable when we are confronted with information that does not fit our belief system, even if it's absolutely clear. You know, when the tall ships appeared on the horizon and the American Indians were standing there on the shore, they saw it, but they didn't see it. They didn't know what they were seeing. It didn't mean anything. They didn't know what it was. They didn't go, oh, look, there are ships. It's like, they barely even, it just didn't connect. We see it in our politics, where we have people that have been taught to believe a particular way by either school or their parents, and they might be given completely different information. Nope. Not true. Oh, I've actually even done my own research. I'm going to use marijuana as an example. We have a growing group of people that are saying, oh no, marijuana is good for you. I've done my research. I've been told. We prescribe it. The government says it's okay. So even if I say, well, let's look at the facts. Nope. You're just going to say that to make me not use it. Okay. Cognitive dissonance. That's part of what happens. I refuse to believe it even in the face of the facts. And it makes me very uncomfortable when you suggest that I am wrong. Because the authorities have told me, teachers, parents, doctors, government, why would these people lie to me? And it doesn't matter what it is. Anything from self-esteem to politics to drug addiction to belief in God or not belief in God to who I am as a person. And that is one of the things that sometimes happens in counseling. The cognitive dissonance. I describe myself by what I do versus who I am. Because I have no clue of who I am, except possibly negative. Can't see the positive. I'm shame-based. So if I am shame-based and you're telling me some of the positive things about myself, it just doesn't compute. So I'm actually going to take another little break, this time for a little bit of news and weather, and I will be back. I'm Ruth Altamir Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat.
USA Radio News with Melody Burkett.
Today I am nominating Chief Judge Merrick Brian Garland to join the Supreme Court.
President Obama is making his pick to replace the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
I've selected a nominee who is widely recognized not only as one of America's sharpest legal minds, but someone who brings to his work a spirit of decency, modesty, integrity, even-handedness, and excellence.
The nomination may face an uphill battle in the Senate, where majority Republicans have promised to block the nominee and leave the decision to the winner of this year's election. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and John Kasich are the big winners in Tuesday's presidential primaries. Clinton is now more than halfway to the Democratic nomination. The former Secretary of State beat Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders in Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, and her home state of Illinois. Missouri remains too close to call. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin from Daybreak USA. Well, the winter may have been dry for you. Your hair may be a little brittle, and maybe you color your hair. Well, I've got great news for you. I told you last week one of my coworkers, Charlie, saw me in the hallway, and he said, hey, I've heard your Ovation commercials, and your hair really does look fantastic. I was kind of surprised, but hey, who doesn't want a compliment from a coworker who says your hair looks fantastic? All right, for those of us that color our hair, and a lot of us do, Ovation introduces their latest in color therapy treatment, the Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. Now, with this new color protection system by Ovation, you'll experience less color fade and longer lasting color. And who doesn't want that? And for a limited time, Ovation will pay your shipping costs if you purchase the new Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. The offer won't last long, and also, you know, you can get an introductory discount if you're a new Ovation hair care purchaser by selecting Angie Austin, Daybreak USA at checkout. OvationHair.com, OvationHair.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for today's program. And I'm also a licensed professional counselor. And today I'm talking about emotional sobriety and what it is, the ability to regulate our emotions, our mood, and our behavior, to control them, to be resilient. I'm also talking a little bit about cognitive dissonance, which sometimes happens when we have belief systems, though they may not work for us, that create distress. We might minimize. We might justify. We may reaffirm already held beliefs. In other words, do some research. Like I was saying earlier, pot or politics or, you know, my self-esteem, I'm a bad person, and I'm doing the research to make sure that I'm correct on that. And, you know, I've made some really bad mistakes in my life. So, yep, I am a really bad person. Because otherwise, to relearn is uncomfortable. How can that be that I was so possibly actually abused, that I have this disconnect. So, how do we learn to self-regulate? It's a pretty important question. Begins with, oftentimes, nature and nurture, what we learn from our parents, and interactions between parents and caretakers and child actually can lay down the foundation of how our brain and body works together. So if we grow up having had childhood wounds, we have to go back and revisit some of that, let go of things that we learned that don't work, and relearn. That's where self-parenting comes into play. And as a therapist, quite often I talk about self-parenting and inner child work. I provide for myself healthy parenting that I did not get. I detach a little bit from myself and start providing skills and tasks that can actually help me regulate my thoughts and my feelings and my behavior. That process is actually about beginning to rewire my brain. Those early experiences often knit together long-lasting patterns that are very hard for us to unlearn and relearn. And so it is important to have that detachment. I'm going to begin to observe myself. What does that mean exactly? How in the world do I do that? I'm not going to walk around with a mirror all the time. No. But what I can do is I can learn how to journal. I can learn how to chart. Oftentimes our emotions can play such a huge role. I'm going to become aware of the depth or expanse of my emotional life. I am recognizing my level of frustration has reached a point where I am smashing something. I am so frustrated. I've hit the wall. I've broken the door. I've kicked something in. I've ripped something apart. I'm so frustrated. Well, gaining that sense of self-awareness, I'm beginning to notice that feeling is creeping up. I am going to do something different. I'm going to listen to my feelings. Or recognize that I lost control. I've been in a rage. I need to take a step back. I need to begin to think about what preceded. Let me look at. I'm having a panic attack. What is causing this? Let me take a step back. Let me analyze this. Where did it come from? There are times that I will sit with my clients and use the word because. I'm a bad person. I say because I did something wrong. Okay. Because? Well, I had to do it. Because I didn't know anything else. Okay. Because? Well, no one ever taught me. Okay? See, we work our way back just by the word because. Or because that's how I was taught to handle it. Okay? So let's look at that. You were taught to handle this particular situation that caused you to make a mistake that made you believe that you were a bad person. You see, I have a strong belief that says, my belief, that says child abuse is not caused by the child. And that child abuse lays a foundation for many dysfunctional things, including the inability to regulate. Quite often. It means the lack of emotional sobriety. And so when we start taking those steps back, we begin to see where we get this information from. Blaming our parents? Well, they're the ones that taught us. Okay. Staying a victim? No. I am an adult now. I get to make new choices. I may struggle with some of that cognitive dissonance. I may be really uncomfortable, but my parents told me. Yes, your parents told you. Is it working for you? Well, how do I know if it's working? Well, you've got addiction going on, raging going on, self-hatred going on, an eating disorder going on, poor relationships going on, inability to balance things in your life going on. So let's look. Is that message working for you? Your self-esteem is shot. Is that working for you? The answer then most likely would be no. Is it uncomfortable? Absolutely. To say my parents were wrong. I say, yes, parents are sometimes wrong. Sometimes parents are very wrong. Parents are also human beings. Parents were taught how to parent by their parents who may also have been wrong. As an adult, I have the responsibility for myself in my life to look at those messages, change them, correct them, so that they work for me, so that my life moves to a point where I can learn how to tolerate intense feelings, that I can learn how to balance my life, develop good self-esteem, become an active member in my own life, making choices that are healthy for me. You must eat everything on your plate. In my family, you must eat everything on your plate. We said grace. God blessed it. It's a sin to throw away blessed food. Well, let's look at all that. What does that mean? God's going to be angry with me if I throw out food. I may be cursed. It's not working. Why is it not working? Well, I don't know. Maybe my refrigerator is filled with moldy things because I can't throw food away. Maybe because I eat everything on my plate, I weigh 300 pounds. I don't weigh 300 pounds. The first time I attempt to throw food away, I am so uncomfortable. I'm looking over my shoulder. Is God watching me? Am I going to get punished? Finish everything on your plate. There's hungry children in the world. Well, you know, it just doesn't cut it. If there's someone who is thirsty in Africa, my having a glass of water is not going to quench their thirst. My stuffing myself with food is not going to make someone in another country become nourished. It's just not going to happen. Cognitive dissonance happens. Emotional irregulation happens. And because we learn many of these things in our childhood, it feels normal and natural. Because we've always done it. So I'm going to take another short commercial break, and I will be back finishing up this hour of Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
And good afternoon. Welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. I am also a licensed professional counselor, and I am talking about emotional sobriety. So emotional sobriety is the ability to regulate our emotions. Our emotions are the way we feel, also affects the way we think, and the way we think also affects the way we feel. And as I said, oftentimes the lack of the ability to regulate our moods or regulate our behaviors, they can come from early childhood issues, things that we did not learn as a child, not having good coping skills in our toolbox, as I like to say. We may not be able to perceive things very well and go to extremes and have belief systems that are based in shoulds and absolutes, can't stand it, always, never, those kinds of things, are oftentimes things that we've learned. We've learned. We have not given the tools. And so we end up having anything but emotional sobriety. And sobriety, as I said before, is really about being responsible for. So I am responsible for how I feel. I am responsible for how I feel. My feelings are not based on you or what you do or what you say or how you feel or your belief system. My feelings are based in what I believe and what I do. In other words, my expectations or lack of expectations or my inability to tolerate. Generally speaking, when I work with people who are struggling with addiction, especially early addiction, how do I tolerate these feelings? I don't know how to be uncomfortable. I don't know how to take charge of my life when I am uncomfortable. I don't know what to do to make myself feel better other than using drugs or alcohol. And it's one of the most difficult things sometimes for an addict to do is just be uncomfortable. And then learn how to regulate that. Learn additional self-soothing, healthy self-soothing techniques. Learn to recognize some of the information that you may have received about yourself and about the world might be wrong. And opening yourself up to that possibility. Shame is a huge, huge key. And quite often when I work with addicts and alcoholics, there's a huge, huge shame